Hello, welcome to a podcast for The Lancet Oncology to accompany our July 2019 issue. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Professor Georgina Long of the Melanoma Institute Australia and the University of Sydney to discuss three papers in our new issue on melanoma treatment. Professor Long, thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be here. Thank you, Alex.
So perhaps we could start by having a little background on recent advances in the treatment of melanoma and the clinical and scientific rationale of exploring the neoadjuvant strategies for this disease.
Sure. So in the last decade, there have been enormous strides in the treatment of both advanced melanoma, that is stage 4 or unresectable stage 3 melanoma, as well as high-risk early melanoma. And that really just includes resectable stage 3 melanoma. In fact, there are two classes of drugs that have really made this huge improvement in the overall survival of patients and the recurrence-free survival of the earlier high-risk early stage. And they are the BRAF-directed targeted therapies for those who have a V600 BRAF mutation in their melanoma, and then the anti-PD-1-based checkpoint inhibitor therapy. Both of those different classes of treatments have made an enormous impact. So what we've been doing more recently, though, is moving these drugs into the neoadjuvant setting. So that is basically resectable stage 3 melanoma that's clinically measurable, usually bulky, and lymph nodes melanoma. So that's where we've been now exploring the use of these drugs. So what we do is we take patients who have resectable, clinically measurable stage 3 melanoma, and we give them drug therapy prior to surgery, then we resect the lymph node bed. Now, the rationale for this is there are several good reasons to do this. Number one, you gain tissue, so these contribute to the translational aspects of exploring response and resistance to these drugs. Number two, we measure the pathological response, which is actually good feedback for a patient. If they have drug first and in the surgery, you can actually feedback and say your tumour seemed to respond to the treatment for these reasons. Not only did we see it shrink on the scan before surgery, but when we looked at it pathologically, we saw that, for example, there were no melanoma cells, cancer cells left, i.e. a complete pathological response. Then the third reason is, if we can correlate the pathological response to the long-term outcome of patients, we can then use this as a platform to explore drug combinations quickly, because you get the feedback very quickly. You give the patient, for example, 6 weeks of drug therapy, you remove the involved melanoma lymph nodes, and you can then assess the pathological response, and you can benchmark that to the known drug therapies, the ones I just mentioned, the BRAF targeted therapies and the anti-PD-1 based therapies, and make a decision about whether the new combination you're testing is worth exploring further. And you can do that very quickly in small subsets of patients. And then lastly, for the checkpoint inhibitors particularly, there is some preclinical studies in mice that suggest that giving an immune treatment, these are the checkpoint inhibitors, prior to surgery may be better than doing the surgery first and giving it afterwards in, for example, the adjuvant setting. And the theory is that by having the tumour in situ when you first give drug therapy, that you expose your immune system, you activate your immune system while you have a high level of antigen exposure, and therefore you trigger a more sustained anti-tumour immune response. So they're the main rationales for looking at the neoadjuvant therapy, particularly in this new era of immuno-oncology and checkpoint inhibitors.
Yeah, no, very interesting. So tell us about some of the key findings from the NeoCombi and the Opacent Neo trials. How do they compare?
Yeah, so these are two fabulous trials. The NeoCombi trial was a trial of targeted therapy, the BRAF targeted therapy. The Opacent Neo trial was a trial of neoadjuvant checkpoint inhibitor combination therapy of nivolumab, an anti-PD-1 drug, and ipilimumab, an anti-CTLA-4. So for NeoCombi, we'll call that from now on the neoadjuvant targeted therapy trial, 35 patients were given neoadjuvant combination dabrafenib, a BRAF inhibitor, with trametinib, a MEK inhibitor. And of the 35, 17, that's 49%, had a complete pathological response. That is, complete disappearance of their melanoma at surgery. They were given this treatment for 12 weeks prior to surgery. What else we found was that did correlate somewhat with relapse-free survival. It was not statistically significantly different from those who did not have a pathological response, but certainly the curves separated very well and very obviously, but it wasn't powered to see a difference between pathological response and non-pathological response and relapse-free survival. I have no doubt, though, in a larger population, you would see a statistically significant difference given the shape of the curves. However, those who had a complete pathological response did recur. They recurred less frequently than those who did not have a complete pathological response, but they still did recur. In fact, of the 17 who had a complete pathological response, 8 had recurred at data cut. And I can tell you that subsequent to that data cut in 2018, we've had more recurrences. So the one-year relapse-free survival was 82% and the two-year relapse-free survival was 63% in those who had a complete pathological response and was much lower in those who did not have a complete pathological response. So that's the targeted therapy trial. For the Opacin-Neo checkpoint inhibitor trial, there were 3 arms exploring 3 different dosing strategies of nivolumab combined with ipilimumab. There were 30 patients in each arm. However, the third arm, there were only 24 patients because it was a very toxic regimen and we closed it early. I'm just going to focus on the arm which had full dose nivolumab, 3 milligrams per kilogram, and lower dose ipilimumab, 1 milligram per kilogram. It was only given for 2 cycles. The patients only had treatment for 6 weeks. Then they had their resection of their lymph node bed. Now, in that arm, that was the least toxic arm, in which we had 30 patients. The complete pathological response rate was 57%, even higher than what we saw in the other study. And remarkably, none of those patients recurred. And in fact, if we included any response, so not just a complete pathological response, but any reduction of 50% or more of melanoma cancer cells in the tumor bed pathologically, none of those patients, of which there were 77%, none of them had recurred at data cut. So this was astonishing, absolutely astonishing, that this very high risk early melanoma stage 3 group, where we normally see a recurrence in the bulky stage 3 like this of upwards of 60 to 80%. We've had no recurrences if you have any sort of pathological response. So they're the 2 trials and they're the main results.
Well, no, that's very interesting. What I quickly wanted to talk about was that several authors from those 2 papers have recently founded the International Neoadjuvant Melanoma Consortium, the guidelines of which we're publishing online along with these 2 trials. Tell us a little bit about this this consortium and what are some of their key goals and initiatives?
A great question. I'm really proud and honoured to talk about the group because we started this group in 2016 with several major melanoma centres around the world, and we've now grown to over 220 members and continuing to grow as people see the results of these early trials and understand the significant value of neoadjuvant therapy. So what the consortium does is it collects experts from around the world, particularly in melanoma, and we have come up with several working groups and as well as that some guidelines to harmonize trial designs. Why is this so important? Because often these neoadjuvant studies are investigator-led and they are smaller studies done around the world. And it's very important we harmonize the trial design so that we can actually compare apples with apples, particularly if we go back to the scientific rationale of using this as a platform to explore novel drug combinations or PD-1-based novel drug combinations. So we've harmonized those efforts. We've also harmonized and started working groups with the translational research efforts. We've already published the response assessment paper for pathological response, which has been incredibly well cited. Now, that was in the Annals of Oncology, and now we've got this prime white paper that we've published along in this, these issues in July in the Lancet Oncology, which outlines the rationale for neoadjuvant therapy, which I outlined earlier, talks about the trial design, the period of neoadjuvant therapy, the outcomes that need to be measured, this type of patients to be included in neoadjuvant therapy so that we trials so that we have some harmonization across the world, and the various different response assessments. So it has a summary of the pathological response, RECIST response, and surgical outcomes that need to be measured. We're now in the midst of putting together another paper looking at the surgical outcomes of neoadjuvant therapy as well. So the consortium is really about harmonizing our efforts along the trial design front, the pathological response front, and the translational research, as well as outcome measures for surgery outcomes as well. And this is really important because our next steps are to pool all the data. In fact, we've just presented at ASCO just in the last week at ASCO in Chicago 2019, a pooled analysis of all our efforts from the international consortium to correlate the pathological response with the relapse-free survival so that this becomes a validated and well-understood platform for exploring novel drug therapies. Our next step, though, after that, or concurrently actually, is to organise ourselves for a randomised control trial of adjuvant versus neoadjuvant therapy. So they're two major goals of ours, and that is the pooled analysis so that we can use this platform for other drug novel combinations, but also to test the scientific rationale of neoadjuvant, particularly immunotherapy versus adjuvant immunotherapy and patient outcomes.
Well, I think you touched on it there, but looking to the future, what are some of the other steps that need to be taken for the immediate advancement of neoadjuvant melanoma treatment?
And I did touch on it, this pooled analysis, for example, to validate this as a platform for drug activity and benchmarking drug activity. So we now have, for example, I just gave you the pathological response, complete pathological response rate for targeted therapy is around 50%. And for combination checkpoint inhibitor is around 55 to 60%. That's a complete pathological response rate, higher if we consider any pathological response. These are our benchmarks. We can now, the future steps are to have that accepted by organizations like the EMA, like NICE, like FDA, and use this to explore drug combinations to take through to phase three trials. So if we see a signal in the neoadjuvant setting where we're seeing pathological responses upwards of 50%, that would be a signal to say, well, if we've got a combination that's actually less toxic, for example, than combination of CTLA-4 plus anti-PD-1, but equivalent in terms of pathological response, this is worth exploring further. So I think the next steps are to get all the agencies around the world to agree on the relevance of the complete pathological response as a surrogate for long-term outcome in this setting, and then to get on with the adjuvant versus neoadjuvant randomized trial across the world.
Well, that's great. Well, you can read all this online now at thelancet.com. Professor Georgina Long, it sounds like a really exciting time to be in your field, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking about something I'm so passionate about.